Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Do the Right Thing Right with your host, Phyllis Wilson, the Do Right Guru. We may not have all the answers, but we'll help you find them. We're coming to you live from Houston, Texas, as we do every Thursday at 12 noon Central Standard Time. Our format is 30 minutes to allow for a short lessons learned application regarding ethics. For call-ins, dial 646-478-3840 or interact in our chat room.
Hello and welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Do the Right Thing Right for Thursday, April the 2nd, and I'm your host, Phyllis Wilson, the Do Right Guru. I want to remind our audiences to call in. The number to dial is 646-478-3840, or you can interact in our chat room. And I want to get right into our show today because we've got a powerful, powerful guest here today who's going to talk to us about an ethical dilemma that he faced. But I want my listeners to please to use the chat room or call in if you have questions. And so today's guest is Art Caporal, and I hope I said that right, Art.
You did.
Great. Listen, thank you for being on the show today.
Phyllis, thanks for having me.
Listen, Art, tell us a little bit about your background.
Yes, I'm traditionally taught as a chiropractor. I graduated from chiropractic school in 1991 and got into practice and found that I wasn't as pleased with the results that I was told I would get in school, and started to research and fortunately found a mentor that was able to teach me how food and nutrition actually plays a huge part in enable your spine and your spinal function to work properly. And so that's what led me on the path of doing clinical nutrition work and diet and lifestyle work.
Oh, wow. So do you have a website or something where someone can find more information at?
I do. It's www.conceptsforhealth, that's conceptsforhealth.com.
Okay, conceptsforhealth.com. Great. Well, listen, Art, I want to ask you the question I ask everybody, and
right.
What's funny is that when I ask people if they've ever faced an ethical dilemma, they pause for a minute and they think about it, and they say no. They instantly say no, my views are is that everyone has tons of ethical stories to share, and I want to share one with you right quick that happened before we get into your dilemma, Art, and I want to share with my listeners.
Sure.
Because, you know, and for the women that are listening out there, mainly this is what happened is a friend of mine, she went to the to one of the brake companies to see about getting brakes on her car, and she went and they called her back and told her, well, it's going to be $580. You need four brakes replaced and wheel alignment and all this. And she said, well, that's too expensive. I'll just wait on getting undone. And then the car repair person said, well, you know, if we take off the lifetime warranty, we probably can do it for you for $450. And she said, no, it's still too expensive for me. And he said, well, I tell you what, don't hang up. Let me talk to my boss and see what we can do. He came back to the phone and told her it would be $370.
Wow.
Now, how did it go from five-something to three-something? And
absolutely.
That, something as simple as that, that shows you people's ethics. So but I wanted to share that. But then on the flip side of that, another friend of mine went to another brake shop, and she had them check her car, and they told her she didn't need any brakes. She was good for 5 or 6 months. Now, she went out and bought all the repair people donuts and coffee because she was so happy she didn't have to, you know, because women, some women are terrified to go to the auto mechanic for fear of what they're going to hear. But she turned around and bought coffee and donuts for everybody because she was so excited that she, you know, had some more time on her breaks. So you get the two different spectrums of things that happen, you know, in practically the same situation. So, but everyone's got a story. And so share with us today, Art, an ethical dilemma that you face.
Yeah, sure, I'd be happy to. And it's funny you brought that up, that some people say that they don't have one, because I was thinking about this morning. I was going to ask you, does anybody come on and say they don't have an ethical dilemma? Because I find that very hard to believe as well. Mine is there's a couple of them, but the one that stands out is when I first got into this work, I was taught what you need to do in order to become a healthier person, and what you need to shift in your life as far as diet and exercise and all the things that somebody has to do in order to start to create health in their life. And my thought is that you just automatically start to do those things. And so I started doing those things, and I found out that I would slide back into the type of foods that I used to eat, or eat something that I know is not good for me. And then as you get patients, and patients start to come in, and you're telling them what they need to do, and you're holding them accountable, then by gosh, then you need to be accountable. And you need to do the things that you're making your patients do. And many, many, many doctors hold the belief that do as I say, not as I do. And I live in a very small town, and when I had a physical location practice years ago, and people would see me in the grocery store, and they would come up and they would look in my shopping cart to make sure that I was eating what I was telling them to eat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to the point where I was traveling around the country lecturing to teach doctors how to do this work, and the biggest thing that came up was that the doctors didn't want to change how they ate, but it was okay for them to change how their patients ate. And that was the big one for me. And one particular story that stands out was, there was a very successful doctor that I knew, and he had a very active practice, really good results. And somebody walked into a pub one night and saw him sitting there eating all these things that he was telling his patients not to eat. And he had the conversation with this person, and at the very end he said, "Oh, by the way, don't tell anybody that you saw me here tonight eating these things." It's like, well, that's completely, completely not right. And so that's the big, you know, dilemma, is that starts with that, but then it bleeds over into everything. You have to be accountable. I have to be accountable, at least, for all the things that I'm having my patients follow through. So I have to be accountable to all those as well. And my big issue is that I don't create enough fun time for myself. And so I'm always having to look at that and say, okay, I need to stop working and I need to create some fun for myself today.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I get hung.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You know, Art, you are so right. I will admit that I need to lose a few pounds, but I have went to doctors that are way bigger than me, and they tell me I need to lose weight. You know,
right.
It's just like, but look at you. You need to take your own medicine. But I understand that, you know, it's a hard process. And so what do you find is the key to success in staying healthy? A couple of things.
Well, the big things within my practice are is that it's a team environment. And so many patients find it difficult to go out and, because there's so much information on the internet right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so
it
can be very confusing. And the thing is every patient is different, and so their needs are going to be a little different. And so having somebody to hold them accountable to certain things, to hold their hand through certain things that are difficult, is really, really important, because the amount of success goes up dramatically in a team environment as opposed to trying to do it on your own. And I even have somebody help me with it. I mean, you know, and I've been doing this a long time. And so it's really, that's one of the biggest things is, you know, it's a team environment. And then, you know, along with that team environment is showing them how specific foods can cause some of their problems. You know, I'll just use a pain syndrome. You know, let's just do a generic pain syndrome. And somebody has a specific diet, and they don't really think that it's affecting them. And so what I do is I clean up their diet really well for a period of 2 to 4 weeks and get a vast majority of their symptoms to disappear. And then what we do after that is we pick a specific food group, and we add that back into their diet every meal, every day for a couple of days, and we watch what happens to their symptoms. And nine times out of 10, their symptoms are going to come back based on the foods that they're eating. And so then the patient can start to make an educated choice, saying, okay, if this is what I eat, this is going to be my result. And after enough trial and error of doing it, because they'll continue to play with it, but after enough trial and error, they'll say, you know, I'm willing to make that choice because I don't want to feel this way anymore.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. And so you got into it because you were dealing with the spine, and you were wondering what foods, what your patients were eating, and how that contributed to issues with their spine?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Wow, that's interesting. Wow. I think that a lot of times we don't think it's something that we're eating. And do you think that could be attributed to the fact that when we go to the doctor, they'll give us a pill for it?
Absolutely. That's the way that we've been kind of raised in the healthcare system. You know, you go to the doctor when you're not feeling well, and they give you a pill or a medication to help. But, you know, in most cases, you know, in most times it covers up a symptom, which the underlying cause of the problem hasn't been addressed. And so, I mean, you can look back into the early 1900s, all the original nutritionists were actually dentists, and because they started seeing a dramatic rise in tooth decay with the industrialization of food. And the average person used to have one cavity. Well, the average number of cavities was one cavity per 1,000 teeth back then. And so... they started seeing degenerative diseases and tooth decay with the shifting of food in America. And so it's a huge deal in this country, because people don't want to think that the food that they've been told to eat for so many years isn't good for them. I mean, I use my case with, you know, I was raised, my family thought that milk was really good for us. And my brother and sister and I used to drink 11 gallons of pasteurized milk a week because we were told it was good for us. But I had chronic sinus infections, tubes in my ears, my tonsils and adenoids out. It was bad, and I got into school. I got into chiropractic school and realized that that could be one of the causes. And so I stopped milk products, and all my sinus problems went away. And so I was really sensitive to milk and dairy products. And so it took a good 5 years of staying off that for me to actually get that out of my system to where I could have it a little bit now and it doesn't bother me. But if I overdo it, I go back into that same pattern of having those sinus problems.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. So is there one particular food that is the culprit of and it's probably sugar. I'm probably asking the wrong
question. right. That's the big one. I mean, there are many foods that can do that, but honestly, mm-hmm. if somebody took all refined sugars and sweeteners out of their diet, mm-hmm. their health would increase dramatically. I mean, the problem is most people have some type of sugar every meal, every day,
mm-hmm.
and every snack every day. And so, mm-hmm. you know, with the incidence of diabetes and all the problems that are going on, you know, sugar consumption doesn't just affect the blood sugar.
Mm-hmm.
A teaspoon of sugar consumption can disrupt body chemistry for up mm-hmm. to 72 hours. So if somebody has a teaspoon of sugar, it can disrupt chemical reactions that are going on with the body for up to 72 hours. And, you know, some people are less, some people are more. So it just goes to show you that how sensitive the body is to sugar. And the problem is the average person in America consumes 130 pounds of sugar a year.
Oh, wow.
And 53 gallons of soda a year. And so that's the biggest detriment to our health is the consumption of sugar that we're doing on a daily basis.
Wow.
Which means, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
You know, I was just going to say, which means that somebody's doing about 259 pounds of sugar a year, because I maybe do 1 to 2 pounds of sugar a year. And so somebody else is eating much more than I am. And so it's a big, big, big deal.
So how can you relieve your body of sugar? How can you not eat so much sugar? I mean, it's everywhere.
Well,
it's in everything.
Yeah, I don't eat any cakes, candies, cookies, those type of things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't drink any soda.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we're gonna have something that we up instead of, you know, the store bought regular maple syrup.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do some marinades maybe that have a little bit of sugar in them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes if I go out to dinner, there may be some sugar in something that I don't really know. But, I mean, I read
mm-hmm.
labels very well. We make all our food just about from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it takes a little bit of time, but it doesn't take a lot of time. You know, I mean, I make sure and have a salad with my lunch and with my dinner. And I just don't eat a lot of processed food because I know how it makes me feel and I know
mm-hmm.
what it does to my body. And so, you know, again, if I'm going to be expecting my patients to do this, then I have to step up and I have to do it. And,
mm-hmm.
there's obviously some, you know, Christmas, you know, obviously you're going to do something if you go to an anniversary party or you go to a wedding, you know, there's going to be those days, but I tell my patients, look, there's 365 days in the year. If you're good 340 of those days, you're doing better than most people. And so
mm-hmm.
I'm just
mm-hmm.
asking you to, if you have a bad day, it's okay. Just get back on the next day.
Mm-hmm.
But make
mm-hmm.
a choice for yourself, because I'm not looking at today. I'm looking at 30 years from now. What's my body
mm-hmm.
going to be like?
Mm-hmm.
Because to your elders on how they're feeling and how their lifestyle is and what they're able
mm-hmm.
to do,
mm-hmm.
my grandfather, he's not with us anymore, but I remember, you know, when I was young, he told me, he said, you know, if I would have known I was going to live so long, I would have taken better care of myself. And You know, most people are only looking at today, and I'm trying to get people to look 20 and 30 years down the road. What kind of quality of life do you want to have at that point? Because I want to be able to do all the things that I do now then. And so that's why I take care of my body in the way that I do.
That makes sense. Our society is so, I want it now, give it to me now. That we don't think about the future.
Correct. I mean, there has to be some things that you deal with now like that. But when people truly understand how those, like if they eat ice cream and it's got sugar and milk in it, and so if they eat an ice cream or a pastry and maybe they get a blood sugar crash, but they don't realize what that really feels like. And so having somebody to show them that process will make it easy for them to make those choices, because everybody has woken up in the morning and felt just phenomenal at one point or another. And that's the way you can feel every morning when you're taking care of your body. I've seen it happen too many times with patients. It's just, it's amazing to me.
I believe you. I believe you. If it can happen once, it can happen more than once. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow. I think that, a lot of times people, it's not all, they also have stress that can contribute to them gaining weight, you know?
Exactly.
Part of it's also clearing out the stress in our life, too.
Yes, and that's one of the things. Yeah, that's, you know, I agree. There may be other docs that feel this way too, but I believe that anything that has a negative assault on our body is a stress. It can be food, it can be a toxin that you're breathing, it can be a mental emotional stress that's occurring in your life at this point in time. They're all going to have a negative effect. And so where my downfall usually comes, you know, as I had mentioned to you when we were chatting, is that my taking time for myself so I don't get overwhelmed and stressed is where I fall short. And so knowing where those limiting steps are that are preventing you from moving forward in your health is important. And having somebody to remind you about those is also critical too. But yeah, stress is a big one. And, you know, I mean, I see people, you know, people see other people eating food on the freeway on the way to work or on the lunchtime. You know, they're trying to do three or four things at once, and it's just, it's really hard. It's really hard on your body. It's hard on your body.
Well, you're right.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you talk about having the support of a team, Art, what if a person is, you know, goes to work, comes home, they're single. How do they get that team? They look for their support from the people at work, or?
That's a tough one. I mean, there can be support groups, there can be really close friends, but in my practice, that's what I create for that person, so they can have somebody to move them along in that process. You know, everybody needs an advocate in their corner for something that they're doing, especially if they want to succeed in it. And so I'm just kind of that advocate to help move them in the right direction.
Okay. Wow. Well, tell our folks again your website address and how they can get in contact with you.
Sure. It's www.conceptsforhealth. And my email address is DRART, that's Dr. Art at conceptsforhealth.com. And my direct line is 559-475-8611.
Great. Listen, I want to ask you one more question before we tie up the show. But
sure.
You know, I was looking at your website online, and I saw that there's an area for intake forms. How does that process work as far as getting your services?
Sure. So somebody contacts me and they want to become a patient, and so they download the intake form onto their computer, and they fill it out right on their computer. And then they save it, and then they email it back to me, and then I call them and we set up a time to create an initial phone consult that's about an hour long, and I physically go through that intake form with everybody that I speak with to make sure that everything's clear and everything is understandable. So I understand what's going on with that particular person. There's nothing more frustrating to a patient than filling out all the paperwork and then the doctor not even looking at it.
Right.
I've heard that story a lot. And so I go through every piece of paper with the patient to make sure that I know what's going on. From there, then I come up with a specific health plan to help move them to the goals that they want to achieve. And then we make an appointment for another day, and I tell them everything that I found and what I think it's going to take, in my professional opinion, for them to get where they want to go in their health.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. So this is personalized for each individual by you.
Correct. Correct.
Wow. That's interesting. I really like that concept. It saves you waiting to get an appointment, waiting for your appointment, then waiting in the examining room for the doctor, and just a whole myriad of other things that, make it not conducive for a lot of people to want to go to the doctor and seek help.
Right. Exactly.
Wow. Very interesting. I like this. Wow.
Well,
I'm going to have to share this information with some friends of mine because I think they would be very interested in this.
That would be great.
But listen, I want to thank my audience for tuning in today, and I want to thank our guest, Dr. Art, for joining us today. And next week's show, we'll have another guest who will talk about an ethical dilemma that he or she faced. And so I invite my listeners to tune in next Thursday at 12 noon Central Standard Time. And remember, I'm your host, Phyllis Wilson, the Do Right Guru. I may not have all the answers, but I'll help you find them.